Bibles, Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. We will be in 1 Thessalonians, but I want us to see the beginning of this work in Thessalonica. So let me just point out a few things here so you kind of have your bearings where Thessalonica is. See, this over here is Israel. This is the Mediterranean Sea. So you come up here, this is modern day Turkey. You'll hear, you know, churches in Galatia right here, Asia Minor, you know, and Colossae, Ephesus, Corinth. This is Greece, modern day Italy. And so what you'll see here is, then this is Antioch, which was the launching church, the sending church of Paul's three missionary journeys, the third one, which he didn't return. He was beheaded. But that's how you'll mark the first, second, and third missionary journeys. He leaves Antioch, comes back, reports to them, leaves Antioch, comes back, reports to them. When he goes to Thessalonica, this is his second mission trip. And so you'll see there was this contention, sharp contention between Paul and Barnabas. So you'll see Silas is with him. God used that to create two mission teams. And so it's beautiful how the Lord will do that, even in contention. And there was reconciliation later with Paul and John Mark. And so, you'll see here that Thessalonica is here. And then when they leave Thessalonica, they go to Berea. Berea is just about right here. And then Paul leaves Berea because they're hunting him down, and he goes down here. Athens is right around in there. So this is Greece. And so that'll give you some bearings when you're seeing all this. Again, Israel's here, modern-day Turkey, sweeping over, getting into Western Europe. And that'll help you just kind of get your bearings where this is at. Let's look at Acts chapter 17. We're going to read verses 1 through 15. I might stop and make some commentary to give us some background of how the Lord started this church, and what was the environment, the situation of its start. Let's look at Acts chapter 17, verse 1. Now when they had passed, and this would be Paul, Silas, and Timothy, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures. So let me pause here. I'm really trying to search the Scriptures and just learn as we think about missions and we think about missionaries and how we can reach them. I really want to continue always to be alert with studies of how did God use Paul in the beginning. And so you'll see this, that Paul goes into this new city, Thessalonica, and three Sabbaths. So what's interesting is it doesn't tell us any more than this. What's very fascinating is the longest I've seen that scholars, whatever that is, have thought that Paul was at Thessalonica 60 days. I've seen 60 days, 47 days, but we see three Sabbaths here. So it wasn't a long time. Does that kind of blow your mind? I mean, it is, it's God in his grace and mercy accelerating the spread of the gospel and the planting of churches, and that he would have a church that could survive and thrive, particularly in this environment. But what I see with Paul, and just I want you all thinking about this as you're studying the Scriptures, and because I'm challenged. It's challenged in South Africa. How do we rescue the perishing and see people truly come to Christ and survive decadent, broken cultures? The objective of Christians is not to change cultures, but I believe ultimately that when the gospel is effective, it changes cultures. I don't want to wait 100 years. We don't have that kind of time. I want to search the Scriptures. How did they set up a new dynamic, a new environment in Corinth, in places like Thessalonica? But part of it is, I see Paul, he goes into those that should know the truth, though they don't. So he goes into the synagogues, and he's going to preach Christ, and so just paying attention and learning from that. Go to those that think they know, and teach them the truth more fully, focused on Christ. You're going to go along this journey with me. And I'm challenged by it, because this is not to fault anyone. I just don't think it's what God intends when he saves people, that you'll hear this. Well, you know, 10 might get saved and 2 will make it. Well, 10 are saved, 10 will make it. When the Bible says that you will continue, you will endure, that's the work of God. You will endure. And so I'm not criticizing anybody. You follow me? But how do we truly rescue the perishing from eternal damnation, but also save their lives from waste? You know, 1 Peter 3:21, a controversial verse, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. Not to put any way the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. And so it's talking about, you know, baptism will save your life from waste, because if baptism is done correctly, you will unite with one of the Lord's churches and it'll keep your life from being wasteful. And I want to see us have that. But anyway, long story. Paul goes into the synagogues and he preaches, and he does that on 3 Sabbaths. And look at end of verse 2, reasoned with them out of the scriptures. And so let's always make sure of this, that our discussions, our basis is out of the scriptures. It's the Bible that changes people's lives, not my rhetoric. It's God's word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. You know, I've had this told me before, but it's sort of a compliment, maybe not, where people go, I'm tired of you giving me Bible. And so we can probably overdo it, maybe. So I'm not trying to cram it down their throat, but I believe this. I am not promised that everything I say will not go void. God's word won't. I want them to get God's word. I want to use it. Paul had the wisdom of God, but he went to those that should know but didn't. Verse 3. Opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ. Let me pause there. Again, he is reasoning with them. This is the Messiah that's been promised through the ages. This is the Messiah that was promised for 4,000 years. Since Adam, the promise, this is the one. This Jesus is the fulfillment of the Christ, the anointed one, the promised one of God. Verse 4. This is beautiful. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. And so I see this. Let me just pause. I want you to help me with this. So you're walking through a journey with me, and I get a little bit more teachy on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights, but do you see God highlights that some devout Greeks and chief women came to know Christ? And God blesses, and we ought to seek to reach people that will have an impact. And God gave Paul devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. And I'll tell you this, it's not just the men, it's not just the women, we need both. And God gave them that here at Thessalonica. Verse 5. But, the Jews which believed not, moved with envy. So don't expect everything to be without resistance. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, so they're looking for Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren of the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down, come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, one Jesus. Now I will tell you this, what a compliment, but what an encouragement that the world can be turned upside down with the gospel. We don't need anything but the gospel. And so they turn the world upside down, and boy, they are upset. And people are going to be upset. Let's love them. Let's be kind. Let's understand this. And so they were looking for Paul, Silas, and Timothy. And when they couldn't find them, they took Jason and some other newly born again believers, and they drew them out, and they're accusing them of being seditionists, of being those that would overthrow the Roman government. Boy, those were magic words with the Roman government. You want to get their attention real quick. these people are going to cause a problem. They're going to start a ruckus, and you better get control of it, because if Caesar hears about it, it's your head. So they got their attention. Lying. Verse 8. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. I pause there again. I just want you to know this. You'll know when things, when God is really moving, there'll be great resistance. I warn us of that. I trust. I'm excited. I really am optimistic. And I would not say I'm an optimist. I would call myself a realist, which is a pessimist in disguise. Right? We don't like to admit it. But so I don't think I'm an optimist, but I am optimistic. I think God just might be pleased. Now, we better fight pride and all that kind of stuff, but I want you to understand this. You will know when God's really working, because there will be resistance, and the people will not like it. And what we need to do is love them. Remember that. Love them, not get all up in arms and make them our enemy. Don't make flesh and blood our enemy, but we should expect it. And we should not be so surprised, okay? Let's just think that way. And I'll tell you this. I think if we had our head on straight, we would rejoice when things get difficult. Sort of like the apostles when they were beaten, that they rejoiced that they were considered worthy to suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ. I don't want problems, just to be clear. But the devil wants to disrupt anything good. And so, I've told people all the time, I don't think the devil knows who I am. He's one guy. He's a pipsqueak compared to God. He's stronger than me. He's not omniscient. He's not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. And so, he's got his minions here. And so, there's probably some demons that are aware of Hope Baptist Church, because one third of the angels, and the angels are so numerous, it's like crazy if it's one third. We're talking hundreds and hundreds of millions of demons. And so there's some demons, but I doubt there's very many reports going up. But I'll tell you this, if God starts moving, there'll be some reports. And there'll be trouble. I think God's blessed us. We should rejoice and take advantage of the lack of trouble. But when trouble comes, let's not let it be caused by us. Let's not let sin be the cause of trouble. But let's be loving, merciful, gracious, and God will be honored. Verse 8, and they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. So it was such a ruckus that they had to make sure they could safely let these guys go so they wouldn't get in trouble. Then verse 10, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea. Remember I showed you Berea is just... So here's Thessalonica. Berea is just a little bit away. It's not far. And so they sent him away to Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. You see Paul's pattern. He goes again to the people that should have known but didn't know. Now verse 11. These, the people at Berea, were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. That is a blessing. I want to tell you this. I'm okay with people that disagree. Let's search the scriptures and let's study the word of God and let's make sure that our desire is to love and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. The people at Berea searched the scriptures and said, let's find out in the scriptures whether this is so, versus getting emotional. Verse 12. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. Boy, but look at this. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, here they come. They came thither also and stirred up the people. And then immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go, as it were, to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. So they stayed in Berea. Paul got out of Dodge. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens. And so again, here's where we're at. Berea's about right here. So they come down here to Athens. And so that's they're not going to follow him is the hope. And I think they were successful. And they that conducted Paul, verse 15, him unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now turn in your Bibles after just that review to 1 Thessalonians. All the T's are together, and they're in alphabetical order. And so Thessalonians, Timothy, Titus. And so Thessalonians is one that I'll get tongue-tied with every once in a while. And so who knows what will come out sometimes with Thessalonians. And so the title of the message tonight is The Love of a Parent, and I say spiritually. And so it's a big emphasis with me. Every single believer in this room, you should desire to have babies. A friend of mine, you know, I told you in South Africa, they just about had a heart attack when I said that. And because fornication is rampant and babies born out of wedlock is the norm. And they thought, here you got a guy from Ohio that's supporting that lifestyle. They didn't get it right away. So I had a friend, he texted me today. And, you know, I try to infect people. So I have these little moments of success. They're so unsuccessful. But he texted me, he said, hey, I used your terminology today in Sunday school. And he said, they weren't sure how to react. So he said, y'all need a baby! And so they weren't sure how to react. But I want you to see this. The first couple of chapters, you're going to see just the care and the love that Paul had for these new believers. And you're just going to see his love for them in such a way. And we're going to learn the love of a parent. So again, I want to tell you this. I so desire for you. I think it's God's desire that we would teach and that he would save. And so I know it's not like you haven't heard that before. But I at least wish we could cry about it. You know, we could sow in tears and reap in joy. I wish we could mourn about it, right? We could, I had a Bible study with Phil and his wife-to-be, Allie. And, Phil, I have him close in prayer. And I love this. Phil prayed for two things that I say. You know, I tell people a whole bunch of stuff. But he goes, God, give me wisdom and give me souls. I'm like, oh, that's good, Phil, that's good. You've been listening. You should ask for wisdom every day. God says, if any man lack wisdom, who does not lack wisdom here? Yeah, that's right. Man, I'm glad I have hair, because, man, when you have hair, I'll say, sure. But you need wisdom every day, right? And so we should be asking for wisdom. The days you don't ask for wisdom, I think, is the day of arrogance. And so God says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And so so I tell people, you ought to pray for wisdom. And I say, you ought to pray for souls. Oh God, would you give me fruit? Would you give me a baby? And help me to be part of your spiritual agricultural work. And then I will tell you, you'll understand Paul's emotions, his love. Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians was written about 50 AD. So it's one of Paul's first letters. It's one of his first letters that he wrote. So, you know, you think about this, right? This isn't too long after Jesus resurrected from the dead. I just want to give you a couple verses. You guys know this. 3 John verse 4. 3 John verse 4 says, John says this, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Now John, that's the Apostle John writing 3 John, was speaking of spiritual children. I want you. I'm telling you, I've got spiritual children in different places, right? And I haven't touched base with Lewis and Rachel Cologne in a little while. Anybody touched base with Lewis and Rachel Cologne recently? Are they doing well? They doing well? I mean, I need to touch base with them, right? And so I still pray for them, think about them, right? And so I want them to thrive, want them to do well. And so I want you to have children spiritually. I want you to long for that, mourn for that. And then you'll understand this. What's interesting is Paul wasn't at Thessalonica long, but the bond in Christ is so amazing, right? If you know Christ, we are friends. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:18. Look at 1 Thessalonians 2:18, just one chapter over. Just again, just showing you a little bit of the heart of Paul, obviously under the inspiration of God, but it's just so amazing. The Bible's so amazing, we can see the heart of a man that's the eternal word of God. He says, Paul writing to that church here, he says, 1 Thessalonians 2:18, wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. And so he wanted to be with them. Look at chapter 3, verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5. And so chapter 3, verse 5 says this: "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear," when I couldn't stand it any longer. That's what he's saying if we wrote in 21st century language. "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." He cared. He's like, I don't want to suffer. You can tell this environment that the church here was born was an environment that was very difficult, right? I mean, they had resistance physically and assaults physically that Paul's just like, it'd be very easy just to acquiesce to whatever won't make you mad. We ought not try to be mean and make people mad, but you'll see his heart throughout this. Now, I'm going to read chapter 1 just to give the full context, and I'm only going to look at the first four verses, but let's read all of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It says this in verse 1. "Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, even unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of love and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God." Verse 5. "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of man we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." You'll see in verse 10, there is a theme. He wants them to understand the second coming of Jesus Christ. He'll even deal with that in the second letter, but it's one of the famous passages as we get to the end of this first letter, dealing with the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the catching away of the saints in the clouds, commonly called the rapture, though that word's not in the Bible. Four things I want you to see. The love of a parent, I want you to see this. First, giving thanks to God for them. Look at this in verse 2. But let me just make a comment on verse 1. It's a typical salutation beginning, but what I do love this, I probably should go back. I don't know if I've seen in very many epistles where he says, "Unto the church of the Thessalonians," and he's talking about the church, "which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ." Remember in Ephesians 5, Jesus, God, through Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, speaks of how Jesus gave himself specially for the church. Now again, that's not exclusive. What I mean by that, not every believer is part of the Lord's churches. Every believer is part of the family of God. But I will tell you that the Lord speaks of Christ giving of himself specially for his church, and then it even talks here that the church at Thessalonica was in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is a special relationship. There was a special work of God, of Christ, going on in the cross that he specially gave himself for his churches. Again, I tell you, there's great blessing, great benefit in being part of one of the Lord's churches. That's why church discipline, if you have removed from the Lord's church, you've been given access to Satan, to your flesh, so that God might get your attention and you might be reconciled. But I just bring that up in verse 1. But here's what he says in verse 2. "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers." And so he gives thanks to them. And this is good for me. I've got to remember this. And I think the Lord's helping me get a little better with this. I don't think anybody ever accused me of being patient. But that would be nice, right? But that also screams I haven't had a lot of tribulation. But I want you to know this. So let me just talk to parents of the physical children. You should give thanks to God for your children. Even the brats. Even the teenagers that think you're stupid. Right? Later, when they realize that life takes money, they realize, hey, smart person. And you be patient and you love them, right? But I think the same way spiritually. And I've blown it sometimes. And I do think there's a need for a kick in the seat of the pants every once in a while, but I think there's a greater need for love. And sometimes love is chastening, but I want to be that way with the pastor. I preach hard. I know I do. Or at least I feel I do. I press. I come in every time I preach with an agenda. I want it to be God's agenda, but I want to press it. That's my personality. I'm not interested in just, ho-hum, check the box, see you later. Hope you like the air conditioning, right? That's not my personality. My personality is that God would move in our hearts and He would become a greater priority for us. Recently, I had a Bible study. And talking about, well, what do you want in your life? And they said, well, I this is okay, I got to be careful. They said, okay, I was almost about to mock it again. They said, well, this is a good answer. They said, we want Christ to be first in our life. And I said, you win the prize. I said, you have the umbrella answer. I said, but what does that look like? I said, that's the right answer. You know, you could have just told me, we want to give glory to God in all things. Amen, amen. Well, what does that look like? Because I told him, I said, okay, I want you to go to your employer when they have your work plan for the year and just say, be a great employee. There you go. Thank you. Is your employer going to accept that? They're going to say, I need some detail behind that. How will we know that you've accomplished what you want to accomplish? What does a great employee look like, right? Wouldn't they say that? So I think it's great. We ought to have the goal that Christ is preeminent, that Christ is first. And so, you know, I was just like, okay, good. Now, what are the components below that, right? And so we got to help people, right? And some people will be slower than others. And we got to love them. I'm telling you, that's why throughout the scriptures, you'll see constantly parents had favorites. You know why? Some kids get it better, some kids obey better, and some kids are more likable. Amen? You guys, gutless, I'll say, amen. All my kids are gone. And but you know what we need to do? We need to thank God for all of them. And that includes the spiritual babies. And, Raymond's not a spiritual baby of mine. I don't even think Raymond's saved. I've covered the gospel with him so many times. But I believe God gave me another gift because Raymond's going to see me now for at least two or three more times. If we're going to help Raymond, there's strings attached, right? There's strings attached. If I'm going to ask our church to lean forward and help him, and I think we ought to. We ought to love those opportunities. But look, I'm going to tell you this. I love that Raymond came here. And I'm going to go one more time after Raymond, after Rainice, after his wife. I want to see if they have a Bible study with me. I want to teach them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he's not a child of mine, but I'm telling you this. It moves me. I want you to be someone that people will look to. And I know this. You know why Raymond looks to me? Not for the gospel. Because here's what he told me. He told me this. He goes, I don't want any money, but does the church help with bills? Oh, that doesn't require money? So I didn't say that. But, you know, I love his honesty because he was like this. I don't want you to give me the money. He goes, if you'll just go down and give it to them. He was eliminating appearing dishonest, right? Maybe Raymond's playing me. I don't think he is. But you know what? I want to give thanks for Raymond. Raymond's mine. My responsibility. I'm asking you to help us, but you're not a bad person if you don't. But I want you to give thanks, and I want you to want children of God. Paul gave thanks He was thankful. Do you know what? I'll just tell you this. If God gives you a spiritual baby, that's a gift of God. We ought to give thanks. And we ought to be thankful, right? I know, there's Brooke back there, right? With Sawyer. And, high maintenance. I mean, Brooke's going to have a back problem here soon. That's the biggest boy I've ever seen. How old is he? 4 months. Sawyer Sumo Schultz. I mean, that dude can eat, huh? I'm telling you, he keeps a little bit in his cheek and gum just for later, too, right? And it's just, you know what? I know this. It's hard. You're overwhelmed right now, right? But I'm just talking for the physical children. Give thanks. You'll miss it. God gives you a spiritual baby. Give thanks. And pour yourself into them, and they are going to frustrate you to no end. If I told you one circumstance I was dealing with, and I am not going to tonight, because you guys know I can't keep secrets well, but I'm not going to. There's a situation I'm dealing with a baby that's like, I want to say, you're an idiot. But I can't say that. I'm asking the Lord for wisdom. And but I need to love them. You understand that? I need to be thankful that they're in my life. If you know the gospel and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, who better to have in their life than you? You know who the real God is. You know the Bible. Give thanks for troubled kids. And ask God for problems. Ask God for babies. Ask God for children. Second thing I want you to see this is you'll pray for them. Who do you pray for? Do you pray for spiritual people or babies? I tell you, I'm haunted by it. It may be pride. There's one couple that will not allow me into their life anymore. I was a bit too direct, I guess. You've probably heard, I've told you some of it. I pray for them constantly. I just sent a text. I'll beg. I don't care. I just said, I was just wondering if there might be some possibility you'd let me in your life again. I don't care. Can they say no? I'm probably blocked or something. But I will tell you this. I'll humble myself. I want to help them. They don't have to come to church here. But I want to see them thrive in Christ. I pray for them. I pray for so many of you. I want you to walk in Christ. I don't want to be a harm to you. I want to ask you this. Who are you praying for? I want you to have a list. I want you to start praying for people that are lost. I want you to start praying for people that God's used you in their life, right? And follow up with more people better. If that's the one thing I learned from Randy this past Wednesday, I'm looking at my list again. Who do I think is God's not interested in? That's who I'm going to. Because I'm telling you this, every time I do this, whoosh, bottom of my list, God seems to save those people. So I'm going to put everybody at the bottom of my list, right? But it is, so I got to make choices. I can't do everything, and I've got to make choices with this list. But I had this mental thought, and so when Randy said, I thought you gave up on me, I said, I did, but God didn't. And I want you to, who are you praying for? See, Paul prayed for the church here at Thessalonica. He so desired to get back there. And he was only with them a short time. But he loved them because he knows this. Sawyer can't make it on his own, can he? He needs a parent praying for him. He could go every other day now feeding him and, changing his diaper. And who are you praying for? Third thing I want you to see. He remembers the good. I want you to see this. Look at verse 3. Remembering without ceasing, and I'll pop these up here. Faith, love, and hope. And it's not in the same direction as 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love. But he says, remembering without ceasing your work. Your work of faith. Now, I love that because Paul understood this. You got to work at trusting the Lord. You understand that? Because those of us that are older in the Lord, we ought not to have to work as hard because we have seen the Lord so good, but we better not take it for granted. You know, you're working at trusting in the Lord. Okay, Lord, who was it that told me something the other day? Oh, and I don't know if I want to It was Jeff and Diane. I won't mention the circumstance, but it was a very difficult circumstance in their life. And when they heard about 1 Thessalonians that we'll get to in weeks to come, that says, in everything give thanks, they're like, oh, are we supposed to give thanks for that? That's tough, isn't it? And so you have to work on your faith, right? I can't answer that, how all that was God and how he was involved. But that's where you have to work on your faith. Does that make sense? That's not an easy one, right? And so he thanked them. He said, I remember without ceasing your work of faith and your labor of love. I want to tell you, some people are harder than love than others. Right here, you're looking at him. And so, but love the brethren. And you know what they did? They labored in their labor of love. Love is action. Love is giving of yourself, right? It's not, I know there's a component of love that's emotion, and God gave us our emotions, and it's lovely and wonderful. But love in its greatest, highest point, agape love, is that sacrificial giving love. And you have to labor at that, right? You have to labor at giving a guy that you've never met before, that we've given money to twice before, I'm just being open book, that maybe he's just here for the money and run, I don't know. But it's been a while since we've done that. And so I think we need to exercise and labor in love. Labor in love, right? He says, I remember without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Now, here's what that is. It's about the hope. Can you imagine this? I would say this, and I was going to say it from a human perspective. I would say, there would not be a Hope Baptist Church if people were beating on us, chasing us down, and dragging us out of the church building when we started within the first 60 days. Now, God can overcome that, right? But that's the situation they had in Thessalonica. You know, Paul's there less than 60 days. And they're dragging people out, getting everybody all worked up, and they're chasing the guy out of town and chasing him to the next town until he goes so far south that they're not going to follow him. And so I want you to understand that they have patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the fourth thing is knowing their election of God. And so you know what I believe. I believe all that's talking about. You see, I want you to know this. Verse 3 and verse 4 is one sentence. You know what I believe? I believe that election is God choosing service for every believer. I use the word special service. God's choosing every believer for service. I think that's consistent with verse 3. Look, remembering without ceasing your work and your labor and your patience of hope. He says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. I know I should expect to see your work of faith, I should expect to see your labor of love, and I should expect to see your patience of hope, because God has chosen you to serve him. Let me just, and I'm not far from a close, let me help you with this. Election is not my hobby horse. I preached a message nearly a year and a half ago in February, and I know some comments I made this morning. I want you to know this. There are people that don't agree with me, and I love you. You're welcome here. You don't have to agree with me. You understand that? I know who you are. But that is not to beat you up at all. I promise you this. When I make comments like I did this morning, they weren't to try to convince you to change your mind. It's for the 80% that have no clue what they believe. Okay? Can you give me that, at least with a pastor? I promise you, I'm not picking on people that disagree with me. I love you, and it's okay that you disagree. The people we have, I love you, I praise God you're part of us, and you love Christ, and you love the gospel, and we might have some different views. And yeah, truth be known, I think you're wrong, but I love you. Truth be known, you think I'm wrong, but that's okay. I want you to know this. This is very important. Very important. Don't take it personal. Allow me to be a pastor. I'm trying to preach in love, and it's not my hobby horse. You know why? I think it's a secondary doctrine, because it's not the Lord's hobby horse, okay? So I gave you my perspective tonight when it says knowing your brethren, beloved, your election of God. So here's what I know. I say this when I think about spiritual children. I know this. God saved you to serve. God didn't save you to sit. God didn't save you just to keep you out of hell. God saved you to serve. And I know that, and I'm thrilled about that. And with the new babies God's given us, I expect them to serve. Because that's what God's plan is, and that's what He has chosen them for, to serve. So I promise you this. I want to make sure you understand this. Just so you know, my wife's not in agreement with me. Aren't you glad you're not living with me? And I love my wife. Kissed her last night. And just thought you needed to know that, Jeff, okay? Jeff, let me tell you this. You should be smooching your wife a lot. This is a freebie. Since Jeff got me off on it, are you kissing your wife a lot? I'm telling you, you kissing your wife a lot? You bet you need to be kissing your wife a lot. That's a freebie. Okay? Carl? All right. Okay? You can thank me later. That wasn't me to you, just so you know. But, Jeff, what did you start? Anyway, I want you to know this. I love the people that God's brought together. I promise you, I'm not trying to flick dust in your eye. I want to help God's people. And I'm not trying to pick on you. I'm trying to help the 80% that don't know what they believe. I promise you, I'm not trying to change your mind. Let's keep studying the Bible. I know this. There's not one believer in our church that is not in disagreement with this. Christ is preeminent. I know of no believer in our church that is in disagreement with me on the gospel. It's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of which any man should boast. I love you. Will you make sure you know that? Please. Please. We can all serve together. You know, Charles Spurgeon and I aren't on the same page. I would love 100 Charles Spurgeons in our church. That guy was after souls. And I think the people that God's given us that might not agree with everything I say, I think you desire to see souls as well. I want to be a place where we can love one another, and we might have some differences, but when I highlight some things, and you can talk to me, you can say, I think your spirit was bad. And by God's grace, I'll humble myself, and I'll say, would you forgive me? And so I love you, and let's just look at this. With our spiritual children, our earthly children, let's give thanks to God for them. Let's pray for them. Let's remember the good. I can focus on the bad. And let's know this. God gave us our children. I have verses, but too late. I can see on the clock. God gave us children so they would serve and honor Him. And He gives us spiritual children so they'll serve as well. And I'm thrilled about that. Let's pray.